Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
I'm going to have Tony out of the East Coast. Tony, if you can hear me right now, just send me a little pop-up on Facebook. I'd really appreciate that. Welcome to the show, folks. Apparently, for the first, 5 minutes of the show, I'm doing this lovely, you know, introduction of Jeanette, talking about some of the things that are going on in the course of the radio. And our fancy new technology, which is supposed to let us go and do all of this fantastic dialing in directly into the computer, It's been working great. And today was a hiccup, and Friday was a hiccup. And so I ended up dialing back in on my regular landline. So for everybody who's like, I'm sure there's a show going on right now, and we heard the intro, and I'm sure they're going to be coming on. Maybe he's just nervous to talk to the legendary Jeanette Barber. Well, that's actually kind of the case. I am a little bit nervous today, but I know that Jeanette will be here. I sent her the electronic way to connect in, which is, you know, really brilliant. When it works great, but apparently when it doesn't want to work, like it's having challenges tonight, it doesn't really want to work that well. So that was an interesting experiment in live radio. So I appreciate everybody kind of hanging out with me as we get things going. I know Jeanette's trying to connect in, so I'll wait a few minutes for her to get all cozy, and we'll get her into the show. I want to give some shout-outs, since none of the stuff that I was talking about at the very beginning actually went through. I want to thank, again, Zachary Glass, who's on the show last night. He's the president of OC Pride, and he came on to talk about the entire week-long of festivities starting on Monday, July 27th, ending on Sunday, August 2nd, with, of course, the fantastic OC Pride LGBT Festival going on Saturday, August 1st. And so that is Saturday, August 1st, of an all-day event up in Santa Ana. For more information on that, you can go to prideoc.com, and you'll get more information on that. Very, very, very cool. Big shout-outs to Rebecca Fisk, who's going to be on our show tomorrow night. Rebecca, of course, comes on the show once a month and takes your calls for an hour. She normally is working in like corporate settings and large events and things like that, but she comes on the show to take your calls. And, of course, she's an intuitive psychic. So here's your little sneak preview of what you can expect tomorrow. Call in 15 minutes early. I start screening the calls early on Rebecca's show because people call in. They're lined up around the block, and it's absolutely crazy. And so call in tomorrow night and get a question answered, and we'll go ahead and let's see here. Here we go. I've got Jeanette calling. And can you call 323-657-1493? Press 1. Okay. And so Jeanette's trying to call in. She's trying to be a great guest, and so that will be fantastic when we get a chance to get that connected. And, of course, the email, this is like Mercury retrograde, and it is not wanting to cooperate. My email is trying to not have me communicate with Jeanette. This is wild. Okay, so while we do this, I'm going to ask that you humor me while we try to get this all ready to go, and I'm going to play a new song for you. If you haven't heard it, it's my take on Billy Idol's White Wedding. It's Gay Wedding. We'll be right back after this. We've got 4 minutes, so I think that we're going to be able to get this fixed in that amount of time. Hang on.
Mister, look what we've done. Hey, Mister, Mister, second to no one. Hey, Mister, Mister, our time has come. Hey, Mister, Mister, marry your true love. Hey, Mister, Mister, hot bun. It's not safe to start again. It's a not safe for a gay wedding. It's a not safe to start again. Hey, sister, sister, now you have the right.
Okay, I wouldn't stop this in the middle of a song for anybody, because, of course, I'm trying to move some merch along the way as well. But that's my song, Gay Wedding. Go out and get it on iTunes and wherever fine music is downloaded. You can also go and check out the video on YouTube. But now, God bless technology, Jeanette Barber is joining us on the show. Jeanette is a dynamic voice in the world of entertainment. You'll know her from the Rosie O'Donnell Show, her own show on SiriusXM. She's got a fantastic new podcast she's going to tell us all about called Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete. And I want to understand where Pete is, because I don't really hear Pete. She's a best-selling author on USA Today, and she's got 6 Emmys to her credit. Jeanette, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jared, how are you?
Oh, I'm a little verklempt. I feel like, you know, I'm on Saturday Night Live, and you're the Barbra Streisand character coming out on stage. So I'm just really
you
honored to have you here.
Oh,
bless your heart. So I was listening. So everybody, I'm going to ask you all about your stuff here, Jeanette. But this morning I had the chance to listen to your latest podcast episode, and you talked about the cat. I want to ask you about that. And I even played at the very beginning of the show, and I did this just for you because I went to iTunes today and got it, and I was really proud that it let me download it. I've been having technology issues today, so I don't know if it's a deal. But this is just for you, so hang on.
We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising. It isn't surprising. She certainly can.
There you go. So that was for you because you talked about that on your show and just got a huge kick out of that.
That's so sweet, and I love that you listened to me. That was nice of you.
You know, I'm going to tell you, I could listen to you just recite a phone book, and I've told that to people for years. It's like, I don't know what it is about her voice. There's just something that I am engaged with, and it's just like, just keep talking. Don't stop, you know. I don't care if it's talking about getting the cat off the ledge so that, you know, you see any of that stuff. But you have quite the story in the past and everything else that's going on. Can you, for those people, for the six people in the world who don't know who you are, can you give us a little bit of a clue about who Jeanette Barber is?
Absolutely. I have been around since, I'm pretty sure, the beginning of time. I was born with Noah. He gave me a spot on the ark. It's been a long history, not name dropping, just saying. But I was a stand-up comic for years, and that's how I met Rosie O'Donnell. I actually met her the first Thursday in March in 1987. And
wow.
We were working a club. Yeah. We were working this club called Bonkers in Orlando. And she was the headliner, and I was the middle act, and I never used to keep up. So all I knew was, oh, good, I get to work with another woman. That'll be fun, and I think she's from Long Island. And she wasn't the big of a star, but she was still, you know, she'd won Star Search. She'd done Give Me a Break by then. And so we were working this club, and we had a freaking blast. We went, we went to the mall, and I'll tell you something. Going to her with the mall in 1987, that one week that I knew her, years later, I always said, when the Rosie O'Donnell show, we went on the air on June 10th of 1996, and we were a monster hit on June 11th. And I always say that everyone was surprised except me, because I had seen her in the mall. I literally, that weekend that I met her, I went, I've never seen anything like it, just the way people responded to her. And we had a great time. There was like a fair, I don't know what you call it, like a county fair kind of thing. And Rosie hated snakes, so I kept picking them up and wrapping my head in them so I could horrify her. We have a picture of the two of us under a big monster truck. The last night of the show was a Sunday night, and it was on a one-nighter. That's how stand-up would go in those days. You'd be in the club for the week, and sometimes they'd tag on a one-nighter. And we had, and there was the MC was also a woman, and women never worked together. So on that Sunday, we said, let's, because sometimes the guy stand-ups would like fool around on the stage, and they'd do practical jokes on each other. So we said, well, let's do a contest. Let's, whoever can say paramecium the most frequently during their act is going to win. Now, the first girl, she was new, so I don't think she got in a single paramecium. Now, I worked paramecium into my set repeatedly, ruining several jokes, mind you, because no one knew why I was saying it. And then Rosie goes up on stage, because you know what? We had a contest, because you could say paramecium. I was paramecium, paramecium, paramecium. And then she claims she won. So from there, it was up from there, and that was 1 month to the day before she started her job as a VJ on VH1.
Oh my gosh! I remember those days.
Yeah.
She was great. And it was like, what was the show? It was like a half an hour show or something like that on Saturday nights.
Oh, that was the stand up spotlight one. But
yeah.
Initially, she was just a VJ, and it was like she had like three minute interstitials, and that's ultimately, I believe, how I ended up writing for her, because comics, this is just what you do. You know, you call each other when you need help. And she would call me every night and go, I got to come up with more material. Because comics, you know, it takes a long time to write an act, but she was burning through it because you use it once and you couldn't. So we would, you know, we would just bat stuff back and forth for fun. And then years, and we stayed friends and you know, had, you know, worked on the road together, you know, a few more times, and we just talk a lot. And when she got her show, I remember it was in November of 95, I got a voicemail. I was not home. I was at the home of a bad idea that I was dating, actually. What a
long before Barry. Yeah.
Long before Barry. And he was he's the one that turned it in. That's my current boyfriend, who I've had for 20 years. But this was a bad idea. Anyway, and she said, Jeanette, I just got a show, and I'm hiring you to write. I almost fainted. I was
wow.
so excited. 'Cause she gave me my first TV spot on her show, Stand Up Spotlight. So, you know, my history is very wrapped up with Rosie. So if you, even if now people will somebody go, you look familiar. And I go, did you watch Rosie O'Donnell? Because even though I've done other things, that's what people still know me from. So I did that. Throughout this interview, it's going to keep circling back to Rosie, because so many of the things that I ended up doing either came directly from her or opportunities that opened up because of her.
Oh, bless her heart. Wow. What a great friend.
Yeah, she's great. I love her. You know, my first book was a bestseller, and it was a bestseller. We were the hottest show in daytime. All Rosie had to do was, you know, it didn't matter what the product was. If she mentioned it, everybody wanted it, and she put me on her show.
Well,
it's the book.
So what was your book about? I should know that, and apparently I haven't done enough research on you today to know that and have read it before the show.
Listen, you're only human. There's only so much you can do. You wouldn't have been able to get a hold of it because it's out of print now. It was called Breaking the Rules, Last Ditch Tactics for Landing the Man of Your Dreams.
Oh.
It gave solidly good information. Like, if you can just get into the guy's house, you refuse to leave. You can secure free housing. Hold on to the door jams. When he tries to make you leave, scream, yell, I'm having your baby when the neighbors are seeing. It was like completely nuts. But the funny part on that was, we got on every show. I had a co-author, Laura Banks. We got on every show. We were on the Bill O'Reilly Report.
Holy cow.
He goes in and he's going in for a serious interview, and he keeps asking his questions. And I'm going, you know, women are too picky. You know, so he has sweat stains and nose hairs. Does he have a gold card? The look on the man's face was priceless.
Well, you know, but that's what sells books, so congratulations for that. So the Rosie Show was a hit just off the bat, which I think, you know, I watched it when I could. You know, it was more like if the VCR caught it during daytime, because, you know, it was when I lived in Phoenix, it played during the day, and obviously I couldn't watch it live. But it was a fun show. It was always a great show. And I don't think it surprised anybody when you guys started winning Emmys left and right.
Well, it's a surprise. That's the first year. But then it's not like it was a surprise, but it was always a thrill. And you've got to remember what that show came out of. All of the shows were like, it was even before Jerry Springer, but it was that kind of show. It was Richard Bay, and it was, you know, the problem shows and, you know, all these horrible things. And then all of a sudden, you know, Rosie, with a personality like, you know, everybody's best friend, all of a sudden appeared. And now so many shows are like that, that we forget that when that show came on the air, there was nothing like it in those days.
So when you got your first Emmy, what did you do with it?
What did I do with it? Good Lord, I don't remember what I did with the first one. I won't keep them in in the living room, and Barry always wanted to put them in the living room, and I said, no, they belong in the office. That's where they are now, at my house in the office. And I don't know why I didn't put them out although honestly, I live in a sewer. There is not a domestic bone in my body. So I probably didn't put it on a shelf because there was no room.
There's no room. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but it is the very first the first year we actually lost. Rosie wanted best host. She shared that when with Oprah, but we lost the first year, and then we won every year after that. But and I remember the first win. I remember we were like in the third row. We were on the right hand side. You can't believe it's possible. You want it so badly, and then they call your name, and from there on, it's as if time stops. You feel like you're walking through molasses, and yet there's a gap in your memory of how you even got on the stage. At least that's what happened to me. I'm speaking for everybody, but it was, you just think your whole life, you daydream about these things, and then it happened. And every single award was as exciting. It didn't become old hat.
And do you are you able to remember any of those, you know, because it's really like, what, 90 seconds, 2 minutes or something like that, that you get up and everybody thanks everybody. Do you have any recollection of any of that? Or is it just kind of like, I know I was there, but it was just such an incredible moment that it kind of, you know, went by the wayside?
I can remember that first one. I can remember walking up. I can remember what Star Jones was wearing. And I don't mean to be unkind, but it was ill-advised. Three rows ahead of us. Then I can't quite remember. I was one of the. I'm like staggering around on the in front of the stage, trying to decide what staircase. So I remember it actually very clearly. The first one. I remember the last one, and that's shocking because I was drunk as a skunk.
Really? Now, where did you get drunk at? Did you get drink before the show, or did they serve alcohol during the Emmys?
Well, they have this dinner for the nominees, and I never went. In the whole 6 years, I never went to the dinner. And so the last year, I thought, I better go now, because I, who knows if I'll ever get another chance. So I went to it, but I'm very weird about food, so I didn't actually want to eat. So I drank on an empty stomach, and it wasn't that I drank that much, but apparently I did. And then I stand up from the table and go, oh... Huh. And all I know is that I did an awful lot of applauding and cheering for soap stars I've never heard of.
That John is a great Redmond story, though, Jeanette. Yeah, that is.
It was fun.
So what's
and
it like
was
working?
One year.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was just to say that there was one year I'll never forget because I was just entering, and this is an attractive phase, menopause. And I was out to dinner, not the dinner, a dinner, just with one of the other producers. Thank God, the only other producers that was close to my age, because all of a sudden I blew into one of the worst two hot flashes in my entire life. And all I had was a clutch purse. So I didn't have a lot of makeup. My face melted, and I ended up having to color my face back in with cover stick. So that was the year.
Oh, you poor
thing. Probably people said, that poor pale thing, good thing she won. She's not going to make it another year.
Yeah.
But that was why.
That is classic. I don't think I ever, I'm quite sure I never heard that on Rosie's show on the SiriusXM. So can I ask you this? What is it like working for somebody who is so successful and so dynamic and such a strong personality, and then, you know, contrast that to going to do your own show? How is that in your life?
Well, you know, it's so different. And both, the thing about when I get to work with Rosie is you are playing in a giant game, and you're playing at the top of a giant game, and I love working with her, and there you get to walk in the limelight. I remember a couple of things that they don't even make good stories, but here, let me tell them. One time, I just remember walking behind her. We were walking into the studio, and Rosie's got broad shoulders, and her hair is always shiny, and you walk behind her, and it's as if you're walking behind, like a force of nature. And I just remember that moment of, it had something to do with the strength in her shoulders. And I had this moment of just such love and she brought me, no one else was going to bring me. I was a stand-up comic who knew nothing about pop culture at the time. And she gave me a shot that nobody else was going to give me. So that was wonderful. I remember one time she did Letterman and I was with her, and just when you leave the door, when you go out the stage door, and they're not exactly police barricades, but they're, you know, like some, those giant saw horses or whatever it is.
Yeah.
She's proud back. And so I got to feel what it's like to walk through those crowds, to have all the cameras going off, but I didn't have to have any pressure. She carried the pressure of it, and because there was a lot of pressure to being a star like that, but there's very little pressure to being able to walk 3 feet behind one and feel what it's like.
That's so very true.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful thing, and a wonderful gift. So I loved that. Doing my own show was totally different, but I loved it as well. The thing is, I love radio. I absolutely, it is the, even more than stand-up.
You're brilliant at it.
Oh, thank you. I love it. You are right there. I'm sure you know this. You are right there with your listeners. I always tell my listeners that I understand that they think they know me, but the odd thing is I think I know them.
Right. You were on the Rosie Show on Sirius XM, and that's really where I first fell in love with your personality and your sense of humor and your love of, you know, rock and roll and your charity work for Medical Missions for Children and all the things that are about you. That show lasted just about a year, and then
we lasted a year and a half.
A year and a half with
Rosie Radio, and then my show, which started the week after Rosie Radio ended, was a year and a half. So I had 3 years at Sirius.
What a great run for you, though. You know, and how did that come about, though? Because I think she was a great, honestly, I thought that I loved her on the radio every day. I loved everybody that was on the show with her. And it was very saddening for, I think, a lot of folks, you know, as you know, when your run comes to an end.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, life has to go on. But how did that even come up where they brought her to Sirius?
Well, I take credit for that completely.
Good.
I'm not saying that this doesn't mean that I had anything to do with it. I'm just taking credit for it. When we were on The View together, because I was with her on The View the first time in the 2006-2007 run, we used to do this little web thing called Jahiro, which stands for Jeanette, Helene, and Rosie. So we'd go in early. Well, I took my time, opportunity of my time in the dressing room with Rosie to nag her because I thought she should do radio. I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and I love radio. I've always wanted to be in radio, and I kept telling her, you should be in radio, you should be in radio. And I don't know if that did any, if that really was it, but there was some connection. I can't remember. I'm 61. How do I know? But there was, and then Howard sent her a radio because we were talking about him, and they heard that. That's what it is. They heard it on Jahiro. I honestly don't know whether or not how much of that instigated it, but that's why I take full credit for it. We started the radio in 2009 in September. So in May, I got an email from her. She goes, we're going to do radio. And I'm just thrilled.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. I am ready. When do we go for the meeting? And, and we did, and how we wanted to do it. And, you know, you're starting from, she didn't know radio. She didn't have the love for radio. She had not been a radio listener before. And I don't think she knew until she did it that it was going to be such a perfect medium for her. I just thought she was great. Yeah, loved her, and we just had a blast. I mean, we did. When you do an ensemble show, it really is your life playing out, and we did ridiculous things. I remember the Clamato. They all drank clam
right.
tomato juice,
yep.
and I chugged beer because I wasn't going to do that.
Right.
I was trying to break my own record. I used to be able to chug a beer in 3 seconds, but I was I chugged a beer in 9 seconds. That was when I was in my 20s. You know, I can't do it anymore. So we really had a blast. But then she did decide to go back to television, and that's how the OWN thing happened. And and initially, I didn't want to. I just didn't want to. Because I loved radio. So the way I got my show at Sirius was that I begged. I just kept going to the VP of Talk, and I said, I want to stay. I want to stay. I don't know why I can't stay. I want a show. Give me a show. And I think if you ask somebody something often enough, sometimes they say yes.
Just to make you go away. Well, I'm glad they did, because your show was great. They really need to bring it back. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. And don't you have like a letter writing campaign? You have fans. Well, you know, but you have quite the network of people who are behind you. Don't you have a bunch of people who are writing to Sirius all the time saying, "Bring Jeanette back"?
That also played in because I was begging them, and the listeners just did start a tremendous. This was back in those days. I've seen a couple of tags. They seem to be starting it again. But I know a lot of my listeners by name, as you probably know yours. I don't know if you can get as many callers as we got, but there was someone named Petra that her mm-hmm. official title is Goddess of All Things, and she is an incredible organizer, and she just started organizing the troops, as it were, and people were writing. There was one that was Don't Be a Sucker, and they all sent in lollipops to the like
classic
the president of the CEO. Yeah, Don't Be a Sucker, give Jeanette a show. They did a lot of stuff, and then, and finally, we were like 3 weeks before the show ended, and I didn't even look for another job, and I had said, no, I don't really want to go to, you know, I didn't want to go. I ended up going to Chicago, as it turned out, and commuting back and forth, so I could see my show, and occasionally, yeah, which isn't that far on a plane, and but my show was only on Thursday and Friday, so, and they only taped Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Oh, so that's perfect.
Yeah. And on an occasion, a couple of times I couldn't get back, but I just used the, because the her show was at the old Oprah studios,
right.
And there was a radio station there because Oprah, I guess, had needed a radio station. So I used that studio a couple of times, but it was a blast, and I love it. I do miss it, and that's part of why, well, you know that Pete, you mentioned, the reason why you didn't hear him is that for the summer, Pete has three children. I mean, really.
So the man needs to go play with his children and be a dad.
Over the summer. It just got, because he also has a full-time job and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Not a problem. Yeah, he's a full-time job plus three kids and, you know, and a wife and all of this stuff. And so he needed a couple of months to, you know, be there with him. And I just said, you know, not a problem. Because my show, for the most part, I did my show alone. I wasn't an ensemble show. We were an ensemble show with Rosie Radio, but my show did not have that kind of budget. So I was used to doing it by myself. But the Pete that I'm talking about is Google Pete.
Yeah, I thought it was Google Pete, but okay,
yes.
I just figured, because, you know, I just, family just keeps, you know, traveling with family, so that's great to hear.
Yes.
I love that. So,
and
okay.
We just decided, after I'd been off the air for a while, we were having coffee together, and I wanted to call the show A Young Guy and a Crone, but he didn't like that title so much. Because he's half my age. But just get along so well, and so we just decided we would do it, and then we're trying to come up with a name, and we came up with Completely Uninformed. Here's why: we don't want to have to do any heavy research or actually know anything.
Bless your heart! Oh my gosh, totally. Oh, by the way, you'd mentioned on the show. You said it's rated G because it's probably rated G, so I don't think I can swear, and that's going to be hard for you. You can swear on the show. It's rated G for Garrett, and it goes back to my love of professional wrestling, and that's a whole different story. But that's where the rated G radio comes in. I tend not to swear, Jeanette, because I will have Tourette's of the F word, like you can't believe. So I just kind of like dial it down during the show. But if something comes out, you're okay. I just wanted to make sure, as we're halfway through the show, I would, you know, to tell you that, but you're good.
Well, thank you. Now, I'm not going to swear a blue streak, although the comic in me immediately wanted to, but I'm going to, but I probably won't. But now at least I don't have to feel like I'm going to get you in trouble should I lose
control.
No,
not at all, not at all.
Are you a boxing fan or just a wrestling fan?
I like creative, predetermined sports entertainment. So I like wrestling because it has it's really the nighttime drama for, you know, males. And so when Dallas and Knott's Landing and Falcon Crest all went off the air, you know, what's going to be there to replace it? The WWE. So, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan, you know, the drama of, you know, the feuds and the battles and why we hate each other and now we're going to make up and now we hate each other again. And
I never heard a phrase like that. Hulk Hogan and,
sure.
You know, that's, and wasn't Jesse Ventura a wrestler?
Yeah, he was a champion for a long time. So, you know, it's a fascinating industry. It's a lot more exciting to call it that than say it's fake. Because, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. But that's a whole different story for a different date. So I just wanted to make sure if you needed to swear that, you know, that we've unplugged the cork and it's okay. But I love the fact that you say that the title for your show is Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete. Now, by the way, because, you know, again, it might not be your best-selling book, but it's your podcast. So if you're listening tonight and have not liked Jeanette's Facebook fan page for Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete, there's a link on the Blog Talk show. If you want to go to the website for Completely Uninformed with Jeanette and Pete, click that link. You can go there. You can watch all of the shows, just like I've been doing the last couple of days, and you can hear Jeanette talk for an hour nonstop. So my question for you, because like I told you at the beginning of our conversation, I could listen to you read a phone book. I really wanted to send you Huntington Beach's phone book and just have you read starting at Kay Adams. How do you go for a full hour without taking a breath? Because that's what it seems like you're doing on each show. Or is it just all a big ruse and you really do take breaks during the course of the show and we just don't know it?
Oh, no, I don't take breaks. I just make a list ahead of time. You know, I do put some time into it. You know, I have my, you know, my story. So I know what I'm basically, what I don't mean I write the, what I'm going to say, but you know, I'm going to talk about, you know, the cat and my, you know, of course I can't think of a single thing that I did, even though it was yesterday. And what I'll do is during the week, anything that happens that I can possibly talk about that's personal, you know, that happened to me, I talk about that. And then the news stories and my opinions. Really what it is that I've done it long enough now because mm-hmm. I had the year and a half on my show. And you know what? I think the best training I had was at the end of Rosie Radio. But before we ended, I got to do 3 weeks on Martha Radio. They were trying mm-hmm. me out, and I will tell you that Martha Stewart's fans hate me.
Really? Why do they
what they hate might be a strong word, but I did not get the job. They're not interested in personality or stories about me or things that I do, and they're not interested in people who are completely uninformed about how to hang the drapes. They're looking, you know, Martha's audience is, they want that information. And
right. Oh, true.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
but for me, it was fantastic because there was not a caller on that station. I don't know. I don't know. No.
If there's no caller, you got to talk.
Yeah, on my show, when I had my own show, that I never got to all of the callers. On Rosie Radio, we never got
right.
to all of the callers.
Yep.
When I went to Martha Radio, it was a freaking desert. There was nothing. So, and it was 3 hours. It was 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And I could talk about whatever I wanted to. No, I had a list of things. I remember once I did a half an hour on the shrinking table square. It's a napkin.
And once you do that, you can do anything. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So, okay. So when, like on your show that you had yesterday, you talked about the spider bite or some type of bite that you have on your hip. And I love the fact that you mm-hmm. said it's not near, you know, the fun region, but it's not by this region and it's kind of by that region. And I took my pictures and I sent it to my sister and then I've been taking the Lyme disease medication. How do you make that as fascinating as you do? Because I'm sitting here glued to the edge of my seat saying, what happens? I need to know what happens. Does she live or die?
I think it must be because I'm so fascinated by myself that I am always, you know, I'm interested in not in everything, but I'm interested in everything I talk about. But I also think that I seriously think that it's important. Lyme disease is brutal. My sister was in the first 700 cases diagnosed. We had a farm a half an hour from Lyme, Connecticut, because that's where it got its name, and it has affected her entire life. Because it's a spirochete that's never gone. And there are some doctors that don't believe in it. The things that I loved best about having my show, in addition to the fact that it was just fun and I love it, is that there were three topics. They're still major topics for me that I think are just important that people might, it's not going to be Lyme disease, but I think we exhausted that one. But it matters.
Right.
It matters to me. And I do keep doxycycline in the refrigerator at all times. And people don't know that. People don't know. If you get bit by a tick, if you take 200 milligrams of doxycycline within 24 hours, you're fine. If your Lyme disease is not treated, then you've got to go on a month. You need an IV. If it's not treated within 6 months, you're going to have that thing forever. And it sucks.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah. I know more about it than some doctors because my sister had it. In fact, Barry, that was my boyfriend, he got it. First time he got it, I looked at his leg and I said, there's something wrong. That's not right. And he said, no, the doctor said it's a spider bite. I said, she's a quack. That is not a spider bite. Well, he had Lyme disease.
Oh, my goodness.
He gets over it. Time passes. We're going, we're somewhere, doesn't matter. And he goes, what's this? He's driving, you know, this like sort of near under his arm. What is it? I pull up his shirt. I look. It's a tick buried up to his ass. It did one leg and a butt sticking out. That was it. No way I could pull that thing off even if I was willing. So nagging is one of my skills. I got him to pull off immediately to a hospital, to an emergency room. He goes in, they take it out. He comes out. I said, did they give you doxycycline? He said, no. They gave him whatever antibiotic you give people because you made a cut in them. I said, that's wrong. You need doxycycline. He said, they are the doctors. He wouldn't listen. 10 days later, he's laying in bed shaking with the ague because he's got Lyme disease a second time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Jeanette
and
knows
if you
best.
Get a bite, I do know best. And if you get a bite and you get a big and it becomes red, you should go to a doctor anyway. But here's another sign. Lyme disease will clear from the inside out, not the outside in. So if you
that
see that,
wild.
You run your ass to a doctor.
I'm going to do that.
So, yeah, and so, I hope you don't get a bite.
I hope I don't get a bite either because, well, I'm in Southern California. We don't really see a lot of Lyme disease down here. But is that how – does that contribute to your fear of the week that you talk about?
Oh, fear of the week. There are so many things to fear in this life, and I feel like it's part of my job to point these out. Terrible, terrible things are going on. I mean, forget that the animals are turning on us. It is my firm belief that the sharks have watched the new show Zoo and understand that they can now turn on humans. But most of my fears of the week would be things that I think are incredibly significant because the food supply, for example, is completely toxic. We are poisoning ourselves with what we eat. Our environment is toxic, and for corporate profit, we all have to die. And people
don't
think about
all the pharma industry, and they've bought all the politicians too. So,
exactly, that's the one thing that Donald Trump said that I agree with. And the fact that I agree with something that Donald Trump said, I'm afraid we have to stop talking so I can take an aspirin. I'm so horrified. But, I don't know if you read this, but maybe it was last week or something. He was talking about Jeb Bush having raised $100 million, and he said he raised $100 million, so he owes a lot of favors. And he goes, you give that much money, and they'll do whatever you want. He goes, I know, I give a lot of money. They do whatever I want. That arrogance of his is so incredibly amusing.
But it's true.
But it is true.
Yeah.
I'm an equal...
Go ahead, sorry.
Equal opportunity hater. I was just going to say equal opportunity hater when it comes to political parties. So what were you going to say?
Well, as you say, how often do you do your podcast now?
We once a week. We post it on Monday nights.
And so do you do this from your home? Do you go to a studio? How does this completely uninformed Pete?
Thank you so much for that. We just do it in the corner because we literally started doing this for fun because we were both very, very sad that our radio careers had ended. He had gone to Chicago with Rosie when I got my show, but I had him whenever he was in town. I would have him on as a guest, and so he always felt like he was part of it. So we were both kind of sad at the time, and we thought, you know, what the heck? And it was like, should we do a podcast? And we just thought, you know what? Who can it hurt? Let's just do it. We do it in the corner. It's not even a living room. I have a New York City apartment, but one of my rooms has only one chair in it because I'm not friendly. And it just shows. I forget having guests. I don't even give them a spot to sit in. So
you have to stand if you're coming over. So
because you're probably going to want to leave in a minute.
of your apartment. This is great.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm not very good with computer things, we just tape it. Pete takes it away and puts it up there, and you know, it's literally something we do for fun and sanity.
So, you love the listeners because it's clear because you're doing this. Really has to be an act of love because it's not something that you're getting like serious XM money to do on a weekly basis. So, do you have an end game, a plan for where you want to take this? You know, a secret coup at SiriusXM or some major radio station in New York and take over the airwaves?
You know, we don't. Although that's a very good idea. But all along, we have just thought this is, Pete lives out in Queens, and I live in Manhattan, and he is in his 30s with three kids and a wife, and I'm in my 60s with three cats, and this is the way we see each other. That's really how it started, and we missed literally missed the listeners. They were, it doesn't mean that when I wasn't on, I didn't stay in contact because some of my listeners have absolutely become friends. And one of them has now become an imaginary friend. She said that, this girl, Laurie Close, she said something to her husband and he goes, what do you mean? Your imaginary friend is real? And I was so honored. I've become an imaginary friend.
You'll get an award for that.
That's how I get to know them.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, if I could get radio back, but SiriusXM went under, that's what happened was Liberty Media took over SiriusXM. So it was a corporate chain. and a lot of shows were canceled, not just mine.
Well, you know, and they're continuing to make changes, you know, today. So I think Howard's probably about the only one with a safe, you know, job, and that's probably just as long as he wants it. But that's, you know, that's just,
right.
That's satellite radio, and unfortunately. But I would love to have you back. I'm so grateful to have found your webs, you know, I call it a web because I pull it up on your website. Your web series, but it's, you know, your podcast completely uninformed with Jeanette and Pete. This is, it's just a fun hour. I can't even wait to see what's going to happen when Pete comes back. And, you know, so is that in August, September? When is he due back with you?
We don't have an exact date, so I don't know if maybe by the end of August, but it's most likely to be September when he comes back. I so enjoy that. I love doing the shows alone. It's totally, both of them are, it's a different kind of show because when you're talking to somebody, you're talking to each other and people are
right.
listening. But when I'm alone, I'm talking directly to them.
And it's just, and I will tell you, I love doing the shows when I have guests, which is pretty much every night of the week. But when I do the shows, which is now very rare, where I just have a show just all by myself, it is really different. I have to get into a completely different rhythm. And did you have difficulty doing that when Pete took a sabbatical to just say, I'm going to talk for an hour? Or did you have enough practice when you're doing the Martha?
Well, the very first one, I felt like I was rusty. And when I first started with Martha, that was definitely a learning curve. And on my show, I started out in the very beginning. I had a small ensemble, and then it shifted, and I went solo. And you know, there is it's like you say, it's a different rhythm, and you get used to it. But once you get used to it, you know, I love it because I feel like it is just me and the listener. So I do totally enjoy both. I might even, when he comes back, you know, every now and then get a wild hair and do an extra show in a week. Who knows?
Well, because it does sound like you're just talking to me for that hour that you're doing it. And it's just like, okay, here we go. And then the next thing you know, the hour is over. And it's like, that was like the highlight of my day. And you want to go back and listen to it again, but then you feel kind of goofy. You're like, well, I just listened to this. You know, do I really need a repeat of the same show right now? Yes, I do. And you press the play button again. But outside
of that. Oh, that is so sweet.
Well, it's true. So can I be your West Coast president of your fan club or something like that? I'll just volunteer that now. So if you need me to carry around
maybe
posters or anything.
I'm going to go West Coast friend. Why don't we just do that?
Yeah, that's cool. I'm fine with that. But I'll still hold up. I love Jeanette signs. You know,
we
want to do that. That's cool. Now, you were telling me in our notes back and forth before the show that you have some really unique healing techniques or tools or things that have come up for your cat, which is, he's 20 years old, and it's Beastly that's having the issues?
Beastly.
And you talked about Nighthawk Minerals, and I was very intrigued by that, because when I came to California, I was very repressed, buttoned-up Republican, short haircut and the whole thing, and I've drank all the California Kool-Aid now. I carry around crystals, I have magnetic jewelry, I do the essential oils. So when I saw the Nighthawks Minerals, it's like, I need Jeanette to tell us more about that. So what brought all of that up?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is one of those that I referenced a few minutes ago, top three things that I was able to tell people that I think actually matter that they might not hear about. I came across just a little blurb, a man named Jay Gutierrez and these Nighthawk Minerals. What it is nighthawkminerals.com. This man, who was a helicopter pilot at the time, he found some rocks in the desert. He thought the rocks were pretty. He picked them up. He kept them. He had some of the rocks made into jewelry because he liked the rocks so much. He gave the jewelry to some friends. The people who had the jewelry started spontaneously feeling better and kept telling him about it. Now, he's so confused. He goes, what could that be? So he takes his rocks and he has them tested. Well, they're mildly, a very low-grade radioactive. He now thinks he's killing his friend and he wants everything back. They don't want to give it back because they feel better and they love them. So he started studying. And what he discovered is a technique, it's called radiation hormesis. And it was used extensively in the beginning of the last century, particularly successful on autoimmune diseases like cancer. It's also has been very effective in macular degeneration, a bunch of stuff. And after the Second World War, the radiation scared people so much they stopped using it. What happens is this extremely low-grade, and there's no, it cannot hurt you, the low-grade radiation kicks your body kicks your immune system into higher gear. And they have a tremendous record of success of helping people who had reached the end of their rope. I had him on my show 4 times. He has since passed away, which was extremely upsetting. Mm. But Nighthawk Minerals is still there. He was a remarkable man. In one of my last interviews, Beastly got his kidneys. It was almost 3 years ago, and they said his kidneys were going. And I asked him if he thought the rocks would help Beastly. And he said, you know, there's a swimming hole, fishing pond, lake somewhere up near. They work out of a ghost town in Colorado, up near them. And they have huge rocks in there. And the cows were living to twice their natural lifespan. So I bought at Nighthawk. Yeah. So I bought, they're called water stones. They're just little stones. You put them in the water, and the words they use is, he says, it charges the water. And it takes about 8 hours to charge a gallon. It'll hold the charge for about 3 hours afterwards. I have a lot of them. And the pitchers that I drink out of, I have water stones, and I have water stones in my cat bowl. When Beasley was diagnosed with his kidneys, it was, get him down here now. He's, you know, it's terrible. He's like, that was 3 years ago. Cats don't get better. His kidneys got better. He's not going to last very much longer. He is 20 years old, and he now has cancer. But I think that he's had this cancer for well over a year. It's a fast-moving cancer that after diagnosis they expect a very short lifespan. But they had a thickening of the gut, which I've since discovered that is the symptom of the cancer. And I think that these stones have made that difference. So I will tell you that and sometimes there are gray stones. You also can have a counselor when you buy the stones, so somebody will tell you more. If you're really in trouble, as in stage 4 cancer, they have a center there and they can treat you with minerals. They call it a 3-prong protocol. I won't try to get into that because I just can't. I'm completely uninformed. But
okay.
You will, if you know, and I have no association with this company. You know, this is
right,
not
right.
My, but Nighthawk, I just believe in it so strongly. So I have a gray stone. Sometimes I wear it down my bra just because I used to smoke, and I think anything that might make my lungs better. So it sounds completely wispy.
I'm on board. I'm going on to the internet after the show, and I'm going to buy some. So I love anything that's new, and I'll call it crazy, because I think that type of stuff is just so outside of Western thinking from a medicinal standpoint. I'm all for it. So if you can avoid a prescription or avoid something else that Western medicine wants to shove down your throat, I'm on board.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's fascinating.
It.
I'm glad you're going to go there. I really am. Get the Waterstone, among other ones, but that's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so I'm writing down water stones, so that's what I'm going to do. Anything else that I should know that I should be on the lookout for shopping?
No, you should read. Don't just buy it. Read. There's a lot of information on the site, and when you read more, I think you'll be even more intrigued.
Right on. So I'm going to do that. Jeanette, we're towards the end of the show here. Are there any last words of wisdom you'd like to impart upon your fans and listeners of your show, completely uninformed, with Jeanette and Pete available on your website and Facebook?
Yeah, completely uninformed on Facebook, and you can find it on iTunes as well. And let me think, I can't even complete a sentence now under pressure. Oh, my God. I can tell you that I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know how much time there is left, so I don't know what story.
I got a couple minutes. We're going to play Cut the Cord, too. So, you know, I figured we're going to hit all your songs today.
I love that one. Well, okay, tell you here's my funny story, my Starbucks story. This is something that's got a through line. I go to Starbucks, and, you know, if you order a cappuccino or something, they have a thing now, at least over here, they're asking your name. I don't like them to have my name. I don't want people to shout my name. I know I'm in show business. You think I'd like this. I don't like it, so I'm not giving them my name. So then I was making up names, right? I'm Joan, whoever it is. Then I go in one time, and I can't, my name is Sally. All right. I get my drink. Then I go back the next time. Hi, Sally. Now they've remembered me. I don't even like the name Sally. It was the only name that came to me that day. I prefer Joan. But my name is Sally. Then I come in. Somebody else. The guy goes, it's Sally. I've never heard them do this to anybody else. It's like, of course, Sally has arrived. They're all, and here's the kicker on that is when I first started menopause, I didn't like the word. So I called it Sally. So now every time I walk into Starbucks, they call me menopause. I was not at all happy with this. And then I'll try, I'll just recognize the drink. Then some of the Starbucks, they can't print up the label. You can't have it if you don't tell them the name. I just got my hair cut incredibly short, and I walked in. I mean, like, it's like an inch long. It's not an inch. I walk in, and they won't give me a drink with that. I go, what? Let's go with Bill, which gave me not a really good look. Now that I hear it. So my listeners started doing something. They started their own campaign, and maybe everybody wants to do that. Everybody's going to Starbucks and saying their name is Sally and taking a picture of their cup and posting it.
Oh, I love that. Okay,
yeah,
so that's going to be the next thing.
Trying to take over.
I love it. Everybody's going to be Sally.
Yeah.
That is perfect. Jeanette, that's a great way to end the show. Thank you very much for being here. It really is an honor to have you take time out of your busy night to be part of this broadcast. Everybody go listen to Jeanette's show, and it's completely uninformed with Jeanette and Pete on that website. So do that. If you're listening across the pond on either West Star Radio Network or Chat and Spin Radio Network, I appreciate you being part of us, bringing us into your cars on your way home, since this is your drive time show. And for everybody else, we will see you live on Wednesday. This is Shinedown's Cut the Cord. This is one of Jeanette's favorite songs, and we're going to play this through the end of the show. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.